whole house theme. I love it. I'm still trying to get my kids to fall in love with that show because I just feel like we all need a little bit of Full House. But speaking of full houses and full homes, we've been seeing, okay, so let me just back up. We've been seeing very high housing prices in Saskatchewan, particularly in the urban centers, Regina and Saskatoon. We've talked about just this year on this show about bidding wars for houses. Right now, the benchmark home price across Saskatchewan is sitting around $370,000, so higher than it was in years past. This leaves home ownership out of grasp for many people, especially younger adults who are still getting established in their careers, maybe carrying that student debt. So what about taking on some roommates? What about taking on like 40 roommates? If that could mean that it could get you into the housing market. What I'm talking about here is something called co-living. And it is something that we do have a form of it in Saskatchewan. In Saskatoon, there's Radiance Co-Housing, there's Wolf Willow, Regina has Prairie Spruce Commons. And this is something that is starting to gain popularity for different reasons now, in particular south of the border. And I wonder if we're going to see the same sort of trends happening on our side of the border. Here to walk me through it is real estate reporter Jordan Pandy with Business Insider. Jordan, welcome to the Evan Bray Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. Okay, so co-living, what is it? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything new. I mean, everyone knows that living with roommates is cheaper than living by yourself, but co-living kind of takes a different approach to it, kind of. The community aspect of it is expected, and then some of the configurations of the living spaces can be a little bit different than just your traditional living with roommates. I mean, you might have a private bedroom with a lock on it, you might have shared kitchen with a couple of people, or share a kitchen with an entire floor. So there's a few different ways that co-living looks today.
So are you seeing more co-living spaces popping up around the U.S., or are you hearing from people just more of an appetite for it? I mean, we have all this real estate sitting empty since COVID, the workspaces that people are no longer going to. We've got rising housing prices. What are you seeing and what's playing into it?
Yeah, I think people are always looking for a cheaper way to live, especially people who are young professionals just out of college or even elderly who are maybe on government assistance. Everyone's looking for a cheaper way to live. And like I mentioned before, living with other people is a great way to bring down those costs. So there's always an appetite for it. And in a story that I wrote a few weeks ago, Gensler, a architectural firm in the United States, they suggested that some of these office buildings can be converted into co-living spaces where each floor is kind of dedicated to a certain type of person, whether it be workforce housing, senior housing, student housing. And all these people can kind of live amongst each other. And obviously that cuts down on costs for sure.
And is this idea picking up steam?
I would say so. Yeah, I think when people hear co-living, they kind of describe it as, well, one developer told me is adult dormitories. It is kind of like that college lifestyle, but it's definitely matured recently. And there's definitely a lot of people who are living not just in college in these co-living spaces. I spoke with someone who was in their 30s and who's very much in their professional career who is in a co-living space, and they love it. And they said they would do it as long as they could.
So tell me more about that, Jordan. Like, what do they love about it? Are they friends with their co-living roommates, neighbors, whatever you would call them? Is it just a matter of saving costs? Like, what is it that keeps them there?
So in this particular building, it's in Washington, D.C., and this person works for the government. And with this place, you kind of do a form you fill out, and the building matches you with roommates. So this is a person who is somewhat like-minded. They may have a certain similar schedule to you in terms of working or when you like to be at home and when you like to sleep. So it kind of does the guesswork for you instead of going on Craigslist or Facebook looking for a random person to share a place with.
This is God help us.
Someone who, yes, exactly. This is already someone who kind of maybe shares the same values as you or has the same work schedule as you, so there's no interruptions there. And then also this place in particular, they have cleaners come in, I believe, biweekly. So that's already a big pain point for a lot of people who live together. It's who's doing the dishes this day, who's cleaning the bathroom. So some of those pain points are alleviated. It makes it a little bit easier.
Is it generally like you, your own space is your bedroom and then everything else is shared? Or are you seeing co-living spaces where it's like basically everything you'd find in a typical apartment, you have your own bathroom, but the kitchen is shared, or just the bathroom is shared? Like what kind of different spaces have you been hearing about?
Yeah, the iteration that I would think is most common is just the private bedroom, again, with like a separate lock on it. So you have a key instead of just a regular padlock. And then you're sharing the kitchen. You may have an ensuite bathroom depending on the building, but Ginzer, like I mentioned before, is kind of putting out the idea that is more like a college dormitory where you do have your private bedroom, but maybe you have a mini fridge in there, a microwave, so you could keep kind of your items to yourself. Mm. And then you might share a large kitchen space with an entire floor, or you have bathrooms that have a bunch of bathrooms in them. It's not just one bathroom, you know, like you would see in an office building, for example, with all these centralized shared amenities. So it really depends. But I would say the one I see the most is more the traditional private bedroom, shared kitchen, shared bathroom, shared living room, things like that.
So if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray this week, and I'm speaking with Business Insider real estate reporter Jordan Pandy. And Jordan, I think I misspoke earlier because I said that this could be a more affordable way for people to get into the housing market. But I imagine most of these are rental situations. Can you own a piece of a co-living space?
These are places that are mostly for rent. I don't believe we quite have buying available yet. These are really for renters.
Okay. So I did misspeak. There is a different situation where I've heard of different places in Canada where people are actually buying homes with strangers just to be able to own a piece of the pie. But I wonder for you, like, what challenges? You mentioned this developer that was looking at office space, I believe you said, in your city, Washington, D.C. What challenges do developers face when creating these co-living spaces?
I think location is a big factor. Some of these people, like I mentioned before, the early career folks, they do still want to be in the hip and happening parts of the city. So if you're building from scratch, there are some unique things that you need to do when building a co-living space. And that kind of comes into play when it comes to renovating other spaces. I mean, think of having, instead of having AC for an entire place, you also need it specialized in a certain room for someone who's going to be in there for a lot of the time, which is where some of these office buildings actually make it a little bit easier because they already have these centralized spaces. Like there's one bathroom for everything. So the piping, the electrical work, all of that is kind of already geared towards a lot of people being in there all at once. But when you're building it from scratch, it can be a little bit tricky, I think, for developers.
You've spoken a lot about these big cities. You know, it's a good way for people to cut costs and still live in the city. That said, do you see a potential for smaller centers? Like we have a lot of urban population here in our province of Saskatchewan. Do you see potential for this sort of thing in more rural settings or smaller centers? Or does it really come down to people wanting to be near the big city lights but not being able to necessarily afford to go on their own?
I absolutely see it for smaller cities and more rural areas, but I think that the people who would be inside of those buildings would probably be a little bit of a different demographic. Something I mentioned earlier, seniors, community is something that a lot of seniors lack and something that they need. So having people that you know are going to be in your home all the time kind of helps with that, but also workforce housing, for example. You could have construction workers that are maybe away from home who are working on a project somewhere and they need to all be in the same building, or even people who are wait staff, people who work at restaurants, just anyone who has like a common working project or some nearby office or nearby place that they work. I feel like that's a lot of, that's a demographic in housing that isn't really taken care for, workforce housing, but that is definitely something you could see in more rural areas.
Oh, for sure. That's such an excellent point. With the trades here in Saskatchewan, I mean, there's people constantly going to rural areas or remote areas, and this would be so helpful in that situation. Jordan Pandy, thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thanks for having me, Tamara.
Of course. All right. That was Jordan Pandy, a Business Insider real estate reporter, talking about co-living. I wonder what you think of the idea of an adult dorm setup. Do you think that makes sense to solve some bigger housing issues, not just with prices in urban areas, but like Jordan was saying, you know, workforce housing in smaller centers, that sort of thing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can, as always, send me a text message at 1-877-332-8255. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray. We'll have more coming up on the other side of the break here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.